Get ready for some great music and theater today. Arts live and local on your Coast Community Radio.
Marshmallow and a little bit of nuts for crazy. Ben and Jerry got it good, but I got it better. With your kiss on my lips, every taste gets sweeter. And you are my tall, cheery icy, sipped on my front porch swing, swaying in the heat of the day, not a care to my name. Brain freeze, bed down, can't slow myself down. Ice that makes me heat up, what kind of love have I found? And you are, hey, 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 yes, you are. My chocolate chip ice cream sandwich at the beach, caramel candied apple would walk through the park, cotton candy Ferris wheel rides in the moonlight all night. You are my sweet summer, summer, summer love. Hey, one moment, not let it pass us by. I love the sweet is strong for a reason. It could be the love that lasts all seasons. And you are, hey, 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 yes, you are.
Well, this beautiful voice is coming from Eugenie Jones on her album Come Out Swingin'. And we heard Sweet Summer Love. And I never heard of her before, but my guests have invited her to come to the peninsula. And she, and there'll be other musicians as well. She is the featured artist at Jazz and Oysters. Yeehaw! So my guests are Diana Thompson, who is the coordinator this year. Hi, Diana.
Hello. Thank you for inviting us.
And how many years have you been involved with Jazz and Oysters?
I started in the year 2000.
Oh.
Took 1 year off.
Okay.
So it's been a while.
Okay. Yeah, it's been a while. And Diana is a regular here. She's a longtime supporter of Coast Community Radio as well. I always treasured her soaps.
Thank you. Thank you.
Harmony Soaps. That was so fun. She packaged them so fun. Now, my other guest is Jim Sherman. Hi, Jim.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. And Jim and I were looking at each other. You look awfully familiar. And then he figured it out. We had met before, but not on the air. Is that right?
Right. We met at a Christmas party.
Yeah. This is Diana, your first time.
Yes,
though.
My first time. We met at Diana Marshall's
right.
Christmas party.
And Diane's another one of our Water Music Festival guests. So that's where this all comes together. Jazz and Oysters is, well, Diana, why don't you, but first of all, Jim, you've never been on KMUN?
No, ma'am. Nope.
Have you been on the radio before?
Never. This is my first time.
Oh my gosh, folks, yes. You know what this means. We have a genuine radio virgin, not just a KMUN virgin. He's a double virgin. Congratulations.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. It's all
that.
Over now.
It is over with now. Yeah. I'm well known
that
now.
That was easy. Yes. So, Diana, why don't you explain to folks? Now, most local folks know all about Jazz and Oysters, but folks from away who might be able to make it here tomorrow, probably not the New Yorkers and the LA folks, but you know, or Wyoming, but certainly a lot of folks in this area should hear about this incredible festival. This is the 33rd. Wow. Yeah. And I just want to mention before I forget, one of the things that so impressed me about the musician I just played, Eugenie Jones, is that this album, which came out at the KMUN library, we are loaded with good music. We were happy to see. All the, let's see, there are 12 cuts, and 10 of them are music and lyrics by Eugenie Jones. Very impressive. And beautiful stuff. So tell us about Jazz and Oysters, and then both of you. So you're the coordinator, and Jim, you're on the board.
I'm on the board, and I'm assistant to Diana on the
cool.
Jazz and Oysters.
Nice. You're on the board of the Water Music Society,
right.
And the great.
Yes.
Excellent. So tell us about this festival and what it is and how it's connected to the Water Music Society.
Well, brief background. Way before my time, Jazz and Oysters got started 33 years ago. The intent was as a fundraiser for other water music festival events. What I think actually was a good part of it, given that there were the people who started it had connections to this radio station.
Yes, that would be Carlos and Sharon Montoya Welsh. Carlos was the jazz man, and Sharon was the garlic and oysters woman, did the cooking show.
And I think their goal may have been to make money, but I also think their goal was to bring jazz to the peninsula.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So they were the instigators, and it has been a fundraiser for the Water Music Society all along. But over the years, Water Music Society does fairly well on its own, so the whole organization has as a goal to help support the school music program in our community.
Mm.
So we've done a number of things. We've given money to the school music program so that the students can go on trips to competitions, and we've brought musicians into the schools.
This is the Washington Peninsula right across from Astoria.
Right.
Yeah.
So the goal is, I mean, my really strong feeling about it is anything that we can do that will help keep kids in school is a good thing.
Hear, hear. Yes. Absolutely. And music is one of the
absolutely
best ways to do that and most fun.
And so we've been doing Jazz and Oysters. I've been involved since the year 2000, but it's been 33 years of great music brought to the peninsula with the goal of just entertaining residents and tourists and having a good time.
Okay, and it works every year. That's the beauty. And it's all volunteers who make this happen.
Yes.
What a surprise.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
Everything in this area is the problem. So, Jim, how long have you been involved?
Oh, before I retired, I used to come here for vacation. So I always volunteered for 12 years of Jazz and Oysters. Then when I retired, I became a board member and worked on the board under Jazz and Oysters and Music in the Gardens. And we're here to support our schools. Our money goes to the schools and helps the kids increase their talent in the music field.
And shows them that the community supports them and music. So where were you living before? Are you living here now?
Yes, I live in Surfside. Yes.
So where were you living before?
Before I retired, I lived in Portland, Oregon for 23 years.
But you came here every year and helped out with...
Right.
Good
but
for
I moved to Fort Worth, Texas. Even in Fort Worth, I always flew here in August. to help with the Jazz and Oysters. Yes,
that's fantastic. That's beautiful. Yeah, that talk about commitment and intent, caring about the community. So tell us about this particular festival, because I think you've got a new venue, don't you?
Yes, we do. The venue is being held at the Port of Peninsula in Nakata this Saturday. The gates open up from 11:30 to 7.
Okay.
Well, and this is a very new venue for us. The port manager, Jay Personius, has been incredibly helpful. He has as a goal to make that place an available venue for events in our community. So he and his staff have done great work to get things ready for us and help us get things ready. The view of the bay is spectacular. It's a great way for people to come and see a working port, which most people don't get to see. And it's just a lovely space.
And we have, this year, have been donated through the port a wonderful oyster barge as our stage. Our stage is Mae West. Yes, is one of the old oyster barges that
fantastic.
Was built on the Joe John shipyard many, many years ago.
Wow.
And the people that owned it donated to the port. And during our conversation with Jay, he says, what a way to have a stage. So he put it back onto the grounds. And it's a permanent band stage for us now.
I can't quite picture it. I guess I better go and find out.
Yes, so we're hoping everybody comes and see that.
So this is tomorrow from 12 to 7, opens at 11:30. But the... for those of you who aren't sure, Nakata is up at the top or nearing the top. Is
nearing
that what you'd say?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's the official address is an Ocean Park address. It's 275th.
Okay.
And if anybody knows the peninsula at all, it's 275th and Sandridge Road.
Right. And you can easily, what's the website for?
Well, if you go to watermusicfestival.com, you can find just click on the Jazz and Oysters part. And we also have a Facebook page. So if you search for Jazz and Oysters on Facebook, you can find us there as well.
Good. Now, who's playing? We've got Eugenie, who's fabulous.
Well, we're starting out with the school jazz band.
Oh, nice.
So they are starting the show at noon.
So is this Ilwaco?
Yes, okay. The high school in Ilwaco, and they have a jazz band.
Terrific, yeah.
So they start out, mm-hmm. and then at 1 o'clock, it's R.J. Marks Quartet.
Nice.
And those are people who are locals. They're mm-hmm. mostly Seaside and Astoria mm-hmm. residents.
And play regularly in Winecraft and many places.
Mm-hmm.
And that name may sound familiar because he's also a newspaper guy. In addition to being a musician, nobody has just one hat to wear around here, right?
We all have to do a variety of
that's
things.
Right. Makes life more interesting. Okay.
And then at 3 o'clock, we have Eugenie Jones, mm-hmm. whose lovely music we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
And then at 5, we have 45th Street Brass from Seattle.
Ha. Huh. Now, I'm not familiar with them either. So where did you find? Now, I understand the high school, obviously. And I understand
R.J.
Marks, because we know them. But where did you get Eugenie and the 45th Street Brass?
Well, it's the rumor mill. What happens is when you start doing something like this, mm-hmm. people find your name, and I get emails. And they say, hi, my name is so-and-so, and wouldn't you like to have me come and play?
Oh, cool.
And so that's how I find a lot of people.
So somebody gave them your name, or they looked it up and found out you. Perhaps you hosted someone else they know, and they said if they liked him
they
or
might
her,
like
they
me.
Probably mm-hmm. would like. Excellent. And then you listen and check.
Then we have some discussions about mm-hmm. who do you like and mm-hmm. what'll fit in our budget. Mm-hmm. And we've, over the years, we have had some phenomenal musicians. And they're great fun to work with. And they just kind of keep showing up.
That's fantastic.
And with all compliment the musicians, we are having oysters. We have hot dogs and hamburgers. We'll have wonderful food to complement the oysters. We'll have a beer wine garden there.
Now, these are no host, the food
right.
and
yes, no
and
host,
alcohol,
right. These are all provided by our board, mm-hmm. and we will have area for the young children if they need to play yard games.
Okay.
So, yes, and you'll be able to see the port.
Now, I remember in past years, it turned out that animals were not allowed.
Pets are permitted on leash.
Oh,
so just
this is
you know,
new.
We I know that this event gets attended by a lot of people who are tourists. Mm-hmm. I don't want anybody locking their dog in a car when it gets hot. So, you know, feel free to bring your dog. Just bring mm-hmm. you know. On leash, keep them under control. There's a doggy bag placed there, so mm-hmm. you have to clean up after your pet. That, mm-hmm. that happens.
Do they? It should folks bring seats and
if
stuff
you
like that?
Yeah, bring lawn chairs or a blanket. You're going to want something to sit on. Okay. It's a big grassy field.
It is. Mm-hmm. I still can't quite picture it because it's a port, and you've got a boat for a stage, mm-hmm. but you've got grass to sit on.
Yes, we have a large area on the port that has been provided with a large section of grass, and Jay's group and the port built a wall, a wooden wall all the way around it to give privacy, and so we have security, and yes, it's and we have restrooms, ample restrooms for the people, handicap access.
Okay. Diana is showing me a photograph. Okay, now I've got it. Now, what's going to happen once you guys are done? What's going to happen with the ship stage or the boat stage? Are they going to put it in the water?
No, it'll stay there and permanently fixed.
Lovely.
It'll be used for other venues coming
mm-hmm.
up.
Mm-hmm. And in the middle of September, there will be a Rhythm and Blues Festival there
right.
using the same stage.
Right.
Wonderful. And that's usually the Ilwaco business?
Actually, somebody else is doing it now, and it's gotten moved up to the North End.
Okay.
There will be great music there.
I've been here 44 years, and that peninsula was, of course, the bridge was called the Bridge to Nowhere back then. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine? And now there is so much happening there with music and venues, food, and, of course, two theater groups. It's fabulous. It's just grown and grown and grown. And in the arts and culture, just as Astoria yeah. and all of this region, with art walks happening mm-hmm. in every
yes.
place. So you guys are keeping that tradition going. I'm so delighted that Jazz and Oysters is continuing. So,
and one thing I'd like to add is the kind folks at Taylor Shellfish donate the oysters to us, and they have done that for a number of years.
So when you, and we don't give prices, but when you pay for your ticket, do you pay to eat as well?
Yes.
It's all, but all the money is going to the schools or
well,
whatever the
money
the
goes
festival.
To pay for our musicians first.
That, okay, good good point.
Yes. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
Pay
yeah.
our musicians.
Yeah. Yeah.
Second thing is when, you know, the after we've paid all of our bills and the money that we have left over, we help support the schools.
Excellent, mm-hmm. excellent. And how many on your board of the Water Music Society?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, is it that big?
No, it's not that big. It's 8 or 10.
Yes, 8 or 10 people, yes.
Yeah.
And we all do different events. We have all different events. Diane, myself, and we have Chris Spence and Susan Spence and Rita.
Nicely.
This event.
This community.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much for making it happen. And a shout out to Sharon and Carlos, who started it. I wonder if
Absolutely.
They ever expected it to continue for this long, because they moved away. They still come and visit.
Yeah.
But they did move away. So Jazz and Oysters Festival tomorrow from, get there, 11:30, the gates open. The music is 12 to 7 with the Ilwaco High School Jazz Band, then RJ Marks, then Eugenie Jones Come Out Swinging, and then the 45th Street Brass. And the weather is predicted to be excellent. You're not going to be sitting there in 100-degree weather. It's going to be beautiful. And I think you said there's no smoke or haze going on over there at this point?
No, that has gone away.
Excellent. Excellent.
And the port is just absolutely gorgeous there. Right. It's where all the oysters come from.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we're delighted, and KMUN is delighted to be able to claim part of this. So thanks so much for coming in.
Thank
Diana
you.
Thompson,
thank you for having
coordinator,
us.
And Jim Sherman, board member and co-worker on this Jazz and Oysters Festival. If you need more information, go to thewatermusicfestival.com or go to a Facebook page, Jazz and Oysters. I don't know if there's another one in the country called that.
Probably not.
Isn't that cool? Are we special or what?
Absolutely. Yes, we are special.
Okay. And Jim, congratulations.
Thank you.
And you are listening to Coast Community Radio, where just about anything can happen. And right now, I have something for you. And I want to make a dedication to a good friend of the community. We're going to send this one out to Fred LaCaff for healing, and to Vivi Tallman, and to Tom LaCaff on the support team, and Rhythm Bound sends their love, and so does the whole community. And here's the deal. They are going to be, Rhythm Bound is going to be playing at the Manzanita Market today. That's this afternoon. And all the money that comes in is going to go to Fred's medical team. If you need more information, give a call after the show.
We'll be right back.
Again, this is Rhythm Bound, and they're going to be playing today at the Manzanita Farmers Market, and all of the money that comes in and the tip jar and anything you want to participate in will be going to Fred LeCaff for the medical support. And there are other ways to contribute if you can't be at the market, so you can call me after the show or get in touch with Lane DeMaul if you know how to do that. And I've got another piece of music here from a fella named Roy Bookbinder, and I was not familiar with him, but we, again, the KMUN Library, what a blessing we have here. This is from 1997, but then apparently, again, in 2017, maybe we got a second copy, but this particular release is 1997, called Travelin' Man. And the piece I want to play is called Never Drive a Stranger from Your Door, which might have some bearing on my next guests. You'll have to stay and listen. And why Roy Bookbinder? Because he is playing a concert tomorrow night. It's a house concert in Arch Cape. And if you need more information about that, also, give a call after the show. I'd be glad to give you the phone numbers. And here he is, Roy Bookbinder. Roy bookbinder. Again, he's at a concert, a house concert in Arch Cape. Those house concerts happen every whenever, and they're terrific. I've been. It's a beautiful house. And that was Never Drive a Stranger from Your Door by Willie Harris. Now, why did I choose that particular song? Well, I'm going to let my next guests perhaps talk about why they're here, and maybe you'll catch some of this. I went to see a fabulous production, heavy-duty production, very powerful, on Wednesday night. It's called the Liberty Readers Theater, but it wasn't Readers Theater. It was, they all had their lines, and there was even some very quite attractive setting, which we can mention how that happened. And it was, as I say, very powerful. So my guests are Sen Nkavo, Seneschal Nkavo, who is the director, and these days, Mr. Liberty Readers Theater. Hi, Sen.
Hi, Carol. How are you?
And of course, those of us who've been around for a while, I don't know whether you heard, we gave a tribute to Edna Packard, who started Readers Theater in this community.
I have heard of her. I never met her.
Yeah, yeah. And she's been gone for some years, but boy, her spirit and her inspiration linger on. So, and Susan Wentworth is here as well. And I should say that Sen has been in plays as well. He's directed all of them there, haven't you?
Yes, I have.
Yeah. But you've also taken part as an actor in the past.
I have, yet I have found that when I don't have to be on stage acting, I get to be the sound operator, and the show gets another layer added to it with background music and stuff like that, which I think always adds to the suspension of disbelief that I'm asking of the audience, yet I'm trying to help them.
Yeah, well, it was definitely not enough disbelief in my estimation. Sorry.
Well, thank you.
So, and my other guest is Susan Wentworth. Hi, Susan.
Hi, Carol.
And it turns out that Susan, am I right, you haven't been on KMUN before?
This is my first time on KMUN.
First time. Okay. And have you been on radio before?
Never.
We have, believe it or not, folks, we have another double virgin. And so, Susan, congratulations.
Thank you.
As you're... in our last couple, we also had a double virgin, so this is a big day. It's a big day. That's it. You're done. You can come back anytime. Relax. It's fine. So, Susan, Sen has been here a number of times, although I do have to sometimes twist his arm because he's so busy at the box office and directing and stuff. But, Susan, tell us a little bit about yourself, because I think I first met you working as a volunteer at the Liberty, but maybe I'd seen you before but didn't realize it, and then suddenly you pop up, not just this time, because you are not a virgin actor, as a fantastic performer. So what's the story on you in theater?
Well, let's see. I've been in theater here in the Astoria area since... oh, goodness, probably about the last 7 years. I've done a few productions at the Coaster Theater, and I think this is my fourth with Readers here in Astoria.
And had you done theater before you came here? Or, I don't know, maybe you've been here all along and I never met you.
Well, I think even as far back as high school, speech and drama and those things were very important to me. So, yeah. Yes, I'm not, it's not that new to me.
But you jumped in here and now you're a regular. And I know that Sen calls on you to because he knows how good you are. And you're one of those people who can, who has a good ear for accents. As a matter of fact, a number of people in this cast, I would say almost all of them.
Almost all of them have to speak with a Southern accent, and only one of them is from the South.
Oh, let's see. I'm trying.
Jacqueline Denton. Her Southern accent is real, yet what's interesting is that
it's
the words
the
that she has to say makes her accent the lightest. When
That's
she's
right.
off stage talking, it's like, it's thick.
Oh, isn't that interesting? And oh, for heaven's sake. Okay, so let's back up a little bit. The name of the production is 1-2-3 with Tennessee Williams, by Tennessee Williams. But I thought that was the name of a show, but actually that's your creation. Is that right, Sam?
Yes, that is something that I created. Actually, Bill Hamm, who does the monologue from Cat on a Hot Tin Roof, said that he really likes Tennessee Williams, so I started investigating it, and I got a book out of my library that's 27 Wagons Full of Cotton and Other One-Act Plays by Tennessee Williams. So this whole thing just kind of came about where he was doing the monologue, so that's one, and two is the second show, Something Unspoken, which is a full one-act with two characters. And then the third show is 27 Wagons Full of Cotton that has three actors in it. So 1-2-3 with Tennessee Williams.
I didn't get the musicality. 1-2-3 with Tennessee Williams. And the other thing that you mentioned at the show is the years. That it goes backwards in years.
It goes backwards in the years written. So number one was written in 1955, number two in 53, and number three in 1946. And what I was attempting to do is I wanted to use the same music to open up each performance to give a similarity through or continuity with the music. The other thing was to be able to build one set that we could change to have two completely different looks, which
was terrific.
It's a financial consideration that theaters have to deal with as to budget and being able to make things do multiple things.
Mm-hmm. And who built the set? Because it worked. First of all, it was extremely attractive.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
And who built the set? How did that
come? Derek Moore, one of the actors, built the door flats and some flattage. We had other flats. I don't know if you remember, but in 2011, we did Land of the Dragon, which was a Chinese children's fantasy.
That was downstairs, though, wasn't it?
That was
on the big stage.
Yeah, in the theater proper.
Right.
And we needed 7 4x8 flats for that. And so I've taken care of them and repainted them and used them over and over because that's part of our stock. And for this show, we added to our stock with Derek Moore being able to build door flats because I like doing productions up in the McTavish Room.
Oh, it's a sweet, sweet spot. You know. Yeah, we should mention this is happening tonight at 7 o'clock and then again Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, next week, also in the McTavish Room, which is the beautiful room in the Liberty Theater. The entrance is on 12th Street, just south of Commercial. So it's part of the Liberty Building, but you don't go in the big gates. And are people buying tickets in advance? Or
yes. For this show, I'm really surprised. When I open up the box office, because I'm also there, I can see how many tickets have been sold for any performance that we have listed. And people can buy these tickets online, and they have been.
Okay, so is that through Liberty Astoria?
LibertyAstoria.org. You can find us under events.
Mm-hmm. Okay. 1-2-3 with Tennessee Williams. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be so aware of saying that. So, Susan, you are in the second piece.
Yes.
Miss Cornelia Scott, and then the other character is Miss Grace Lancaster, who is our Southerner, who
yes.
speaks with less of a Southern accent. That's so interesting. And I would love to hear you tell us about this piece. The only one of these three that I was familiar with was, of course, Cat on a Hot Tin Roof. But Bill Hamm, who is also, for full disclosure, a KMUN programmer and a very prolific actor and writer, did a wonderful job on that, looking a little different from how I've ever seen him. But and then came Something Unspoken. Never heard of it. Tell us about this piece and what it is, as much as you feel is a good idea to share, and then why it appeals to you.
Well, first I want to say that Sen told me about this play about a year ago and asked me if I was interested in playing the part of Cornelia Scott. And about 6 months ago, he sent me the script because my time here in Astoria is limited, and it just happened to fall in that we could do it at this particular time. It's a story about two women. One is a spinster. She's older, and she has met this younger woman 15 years ago at a summer retreat of some sort, and I think it doesn't actually say in the script, but I believe she kind of fell in love with her at the time and figured out a way that she could come and live with her, becoming her secretary. And this play takes place 15 years later on the anniversary of the time that Grace Lancaster arrived at her home. And remember that this play took place or was written in 1953. And in that period of time, two women living together in anything other than a roommate situation was frowned on a little. And the play in itself is Cornelia, I think, wanting to come out of the closet and Grace backing up and not wanting to do that. And so there's this tension throughout the entire play of whether or not they're actually going to admit to this underlying relationship.
Yeah, there is an interesting... yeah, feel free to add.
I was going to say, there's actually a third character in the play, which is the telephone.
Yeah, very much so.
And Susan has these incredibly long page-and-a-half telephone conversations that she does so well, you really think she is talking to somebody else on the other end of the phone.
Not to mention her face, which is constantly changing. Mm-hmm.
It's very enjoyable to watch. And then all of a sudden you realize she's been on the phone for 2.5 minutes.
Yeah.
And there really isn't anyone
on the other
side. On the other end of the phone. Yet she makes you believe there is.
Yeah. I never thought about there isn't. There was. For me, there was.
There was.
There was definitely.
Which is what acting
there.
Is.
That's yes. Excellent. Yeah. There's also, it seems to me, a constant power play going on there. Somewhat subtle, somewhat gentle, but firm. I felt very, very clearly what was happening there. And one would make assumptions, but they're not necessarily so in this case.
Absolutely correct.
That's correct, yes. You really have to think about it to realize what really is going on in this relationship, I think. Really listen. Because there's this distraction of this election that's going on somewhere else.
And tell us what the election is.
The election
that
is...
you care so much about, Miss Cornelia.
Well, it's for... it's at the Confederate Daughters in the city of Meridian.
Yeah, and she can't help but slip
into the
accent.
Slip into the accent. She doesn't want to be regent.
No, certainly.
But she really does, but she doesn't, but only by unanimous acclamation. So there's that going on. She's a very complicated character. Mm-hmm. She has this situation going on in her home, and she set up this whole thing for the anniversary, which happens to coincide with the election. She chooses to stay home, and there's all of this stuff going on, and the phone is ringing, and Esmeralda Hawkins keeps calling, mm-hmm. and other people, and she sort of carries this all off.
Looking beautiful, I might add.
Oh, well, thank you.
The costuming is just gorgeous. Yeah. I was jealous. It wouldn't look that way on me, but it was beautiful. So how did you feel about doing this part?
Well, at first, when Sin told me about it, I made the assumption that it was going to be readers. And I thought, oops, no problem. And then when I looked at the script and he said, no, we're going to do straight up acting here. And I thought, oh, my goodness, can I memorize all of that? Because literally, I think I have about 15 pages, 8.5 by 11 of single spaced.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's conversation.
It's intense.
Conversation.
It's intense.
It is.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you did. And that's the good news. And I was there opening night. You had a show last night and then again tonight.
Correct.
And then again next week, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Again, this is the McTavish Room upstairs in the Liberty Theater. And you can go online to libertyastoria.org. Sen, do you want to say anything, because I don't dare, about the third play? And folks can look these up, obviously. This mm-hmm. is Tennessee Williams. It's not obscure, so you can check it out and see if this works for you. This is adult content theater. 27 Wagons Full of Cotton. Again, I'd never heard of it. It was written when I was 2 years old. What did I know? In the South. Do you want to tell us something about that? It's excellently done.
Thank you. 27 Wagons Full of Cotton is considered Tennessee Williams' first play where he starts to bring forth brutality in issues that we especially see in Cat in a Hot Tin Roof and Streetcar Named Desire. And he was one of the first playwrights to do it at that time, where he's just writing about real human situations that do happen. As Susan was saying, her character is extremely complex. His writing is so subtle, and all of the characters that we've been doing in the three different pieces have done extensive study in who the character really is in their background history, that are words that are never said, but they're implied. You know, it's as in 27 Wagon Loads of Cotton, Katrina playing Flora has several...
That would be Katrina Goddard's?
Goddard's, yes. Playing the character Flora, several times she just has to say the word, huh?
Yeah.
And yet it's like there is so much in that, huh? Because she's getting caught in a lie, she's feeling under the gun. You know, it's just very, very subtle, which means that it's very well written. The characters are extremely complex. 27 Wagon Loads of Cotton is a basic story about a man and a woman who owned a cotton gin and were well off. Suddenly, the syndicate moves into the area, and they start buying up all of the cotton farms, and then they decide to build their own cotton gin. So all of these other people who have cotton gins, they don't have any money coming in. There's nothing. And somehow, mysteriously, the syndicate's cotton gin burns down one night. And the Megans get now all of this 27 wagons full of cotton to gin, and the story mm-hmm. goes on mm-hmm. from there.
And there is language, adult, it's not even adult language. There's some vulgar language in there for a lot of us. It is part of the play. It makes sense. And if you know anything about Tennessee Williams, that's what it is. There's violence. The three actors do an excellent job. Katrina Goddard's Bill Honnell and Derek Moore as Flora, Jake, and Silva Vicaro. Notice they are not Miss and Mr. as in your mm-hmm. play, which has a little more class. Mm-hmm. It's well worth seeing this production. It's another excellent production by Liberty, parentheses, Readers, unparentheses, Theater.
We're going to develop a different name. I haven't talked to Jennifer about this.
You'll have to.
There'll be Readers Theater, because some plays work better as readers.
Yeah.
And some work better when they are fully staged. So we might become just Liberty Theater Presents, and then the audience will know that it is mm-hmm. a full-staged production.
In the McTavish.
In the McTavish.
It sounds like something out of Clue, you know, with the wrench, right?
With the wrench, right, yes.
Right. Okay, folks, check it out and keep your eyes and ears open. Sen, do you have something on the docket coming up for McTavish Theater again?
I do. I have several things. I was hopefully by next week I will have a list of the upcoming readers/full stage productions.
Okay.
But I have some very, very interesting things on the docket of, I like to present controversy.
Yes.
I like people to leave the theater with something to talk about.
We know. Every single thing you've done there has been that way, and it's been excellent.
Thank you.
I want to say as an actress in these that I always enjoy acting in Sen's productions because I know that most of the audience goes home, and the next day they go, oh,
that's what was
that? It yeah. really is food for thought,
oh, yeah.
and I know in our particular instance, Jackie and I, who play in our play, it took us a very long time to work out the characters ourselves and figure out what exactly was going on. We've been working on this for a couple of months mm-hmm. together before we got together with the group and just working through. And so imagine what it's like with the audience. If
one
it took
shot.
Us that yeah. long to figure it out, it takes the audience a little longer,
right.
too.
I mean, if someone goes in knowing, it's one thing. I went in totally blank, just known as Tennessee Williams, and I could depend on Sen's directorship, and I knew who the... I didn't know Jacqueline, but I knew the others. But I had no idea what I was walking into, and I paid good attention. It's an intimate theater, which makes it very special. You're right there with the actors, and I much appreciate that. Much appreciate.
Okay.
So thank you both, and thanks to all of the cast and crew, because I know you have Larry Bryant in technical, Susie Brown in costumes and props, Kelly Green on lightboard, Derek Sett, Jennifer Crockett, of course, is with the Liberty, and Nancy Schwickrath was there, and it takes a community to make this happen.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
We even had donations from people in the community, too, for some of our props. So that was really nice. It really is a community event.
That
when we go and ask for something, chairs, tables, whatever, mm-hmm. they're very, very helpful and let us borrow things for the set always.
Well, it's community theater, and you're listening to Community Radio, KMUN, Astoria, KTCB, Tillamook. And don't forget, a week from today is Arts Live and Local is going to be begging for bucks. Starting on Sunday the 19th, the entire station is going to be begging for bucks, just for 7 days. So don't make us beg. Call us and give us your support, just as you support the arts in town. Thank you so much, Seneschal Incavo and Susan Wentworth from the McTavish Theater. That's how I'm going to start calling it that. Okay, I know it's not official. Again, tonight, 7 o'clock, you can just show up. Better yet, get your tickets in advance, but you can show up. And then next Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Thanks so much for coming in.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
And I do have a tribute. You've been hearing a lot of tributes to the Queen of Soul. And even if you thought you didn't know Aretha Franklin, you did, because her music went through all of our cultures. She knew what she was talking about. That was 1967, and we still need to. We sure as heck need a lot more respect in our society. Let me tell you what else is happening. The Astor Street Opry Company tonight, tomorrow, and next Thursday with Shanghai and Astoria. There's also a Sunday matinee this week. Coaster Theater. The Musical of Musicals, The Musical, is tonight. Tomorrow night is the Baskerville, and it's Sherlock Holmes. And also in the afternoon is the Children's Theater, Sherlock Holmes. So go check out the Coaster Theater in Cannon Beach. Fred LeCaff benefit today, Tillamook Art Accelerated Gallery, 5:30 with Antoinette Kennedy. The Adrift every night. There is music everywhere, folks. Don't miss it. Fabulous. Tomorrow, Peninsula Performing Arts Center with Beth Whitney. And on Wednesday, Judy Iron is going to be playing there at 7 o'clock in Long Beach. Jazz and Oysters tomorrow. Belly Dance Festival with Painted Lady, Lavender Farm, Klatskanite Garlic Festival, 10 to 2. Tanz is playing at Galetti's, and Archgate House Party with Roy Bookbinder. Sunday, Fort George presents Cedar Teeth, Brad Griswold's at Sweet Basil's. Finisterre is presenting Glass Baby Pop-Up. It's a benefit for the Tillamook Women's Crisis Service. Wednesday, Astoria Library is featuring the Brown's Meat Flats at 6 o'clock live from the 10th Street stage. And there's the Repair Cafe, 1010 Duane. And Jackson is playing Jackson Andrews at the Sweet Basil's on Thursday, along with lots more happening. Please take advantage of all of the arts that are happening. Art heals, art saves lives, and it is a community binder. Thanks so much for being here. This is Coast Community Radio, KMUN Astoria, KTCB Tillamook, coastradio.org, wherever you are in the world. And by the way, if you need to get a head start because you're heading off to parts unknown and you're afraid you won't get your donation in on time, you can always go to coastradio.org and donate now. Whatever works for you. Thanks for being here.